Well, go ahead and turn with me, if you will, over to Acts chapter 1. We're going to be there today. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. I absolutely love that song that we just sang because it just reminds us that our hearts need to be broken for our city, for our nation. You know, God loves this country. He's not finished with us yet. He's still in the business of changing people's lives. And we have to hold to that hope. We can't cast it away. And I love that song. And then earlier, Andrew, when we were having the prayer time, you played the tune of song Jesus, There's Something About That Name. I don't think we've ever played or sang that song here in our church, but that song is a song that my mother used to play a lot on the piano, and I used to sing it for special music in the churches that we attended. So just a neat little thing there. So thank you for playing that today. Well, Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. I have a confession to make to you this morning, kind of a fun confession. Leslie and I like to watch Perry Mason. That's kind of a random thing there, isn't it? We like to watch Perry Mason. In fact, we've been watching the series starting with episode 1, and eventually we'll make our way all the way through season 9. There's 9 different seasons. And right now, I think we're about halfway through season 3. And it's a great series. You know, it's from the 50s and 60s, and played by Raymond Burr, Perry Mason is a criminal defense lawyer who typically establishes his client's innocence rather than a verdict of not guilty by implicating another character who then later confesses to the murder. So it's not that his clients are found not guilty. He gets the guilty person to confess later on. Going up against Hamilton Berger, the county prosecutor, and Lieutenant Tragg, the homicide detective, Mason uses very unusual tactics to prove his clients didn't commit the murder. Perry Mason doesn't do it on his own, alone though. He requires some help to find the real culprits. So his faithful secretary, Della Street, and Paul Drake, who is as cool as the day is long, a private investigator, helps Perry in his pursuit of the truth. And obviously, being a lawyer in this show, Perry Mason deals with the testimony of witnesses in the courtroom. And these witnesses play a very important part, and they are key to proving the innocence or guilt of a client. And the word witness is a word that we use quite a bit within our Christian circles, within our church. As Christians, as Christian families, we use this word quite a bit. And in fact, whether we realize it or not, and sometimes I think we forget this, whether we realize it or not, we've been called to be a witness of sorts for God. And in fact, Jesus talks about that here in our passage. And so let's read about it. Let's see how God's word will challenge us this morning as we think about being called to be a witness. Let's take a look at the scripture, Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. It says, while he was together with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise. This, he said, is what you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is right before Jesus ascended back up into heaven, just right after he had told his disciples they were to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And he was saying that in just a few days, there's going to be this event that's going to happen, and the Holy Spirit, the one that I've been promising to you, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, you're going to be empowered, and you will be my witnesses. Those are the words of Jesus. And I want to talk about that this morning. But so there's a couple of questions I want to answer. The first question is this, and it's just kind of a very basic question. What is a witness? What is a witness? A witness is someone, basically, who has knowledge about a matter, okay? In law, a witness is someone who either voluntarily or under compulsion provides testimonial evidence, either oral or written, of what he or she knows or claims to know about a certain situation or a certain case. Now, there are several types of witnesses. I mean, you've got eyewitnesses. And an eyewitness is a witness with knowledge obtained through his or her own senses, whether it be visual or hearing or smell or touch. But they literally know about the situation because they've experienced it firsthand. They're an eyewitness. Another witness is a hearsay witness, a witness who testifies about what someone else wrote or said. They heard it from another party. Another kind of witness is an expert witness, a witness who has specialized knowledge relevant to the matter of interest, such as evidence. Now, this expert witness could be an expert in fingerprints or odontology, which is teeth, firearms, or blood spatter. They're a witness, and they can attest to certain types of evidence and prove it to be true or false. And then sometimes you see a reputation witness, a witness who testifies about the reputation of a person or business entity when reputation is material to the dispute at issue. And so that's what a witness is. It's someone who gives a testimony based on their knowledge or what they've seen and heard concerning the case at hand. And so for order for us to understand how it relates to us in a spiritual sense, we have to understand first what the word witness means. And so we've come to that conclusion. We know what a witness is. So here's what we really want to get into, and this is the crux of my sermon today. The second question, the question is this: how can we be a witness for God? Okay, if we understand what a witness is, how can we be a witness for God? And there's four different things that I want to share with you from the scripture today. The first thing that we need to do in order to be a witness for God is we need to understand God's passion. We need to understand God's passion. This is the first step, and it's the most critical step, if you will. Before we as Christians, as followers of Christ, get concerned about reaching other people with the gospel, we have to understand something very important. We have to understand what people, or how people matter to God. We have to understand how much God cares about people. Turn with me, if you will, just to one book over to the book of Romans, chapter 10. This is a familiar passage of Scripture, and it helps us understand God's passion. Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 9. Romans 10, starting in verse 9. We're going to read all the way over to verse 17. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. Now the scripture says, everyone who believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, since the same Lord of all is rich to all who call on him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him that they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things. But all did not obey the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ. So what do we see here about God's passion? He desires for everyone to know him personally. Another scripture, I just want to read it to you. You can jot it down and look at it later. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Timothy, or Paul writes, "This is good and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." Also listen to 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord does not delay in his promise, as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance." And so, guys, this is the heart of God. This shows us that people are his passion. His creation is what he most loves. And he wants all to come to repentance and to know him personally through his son, Jesus Christ. Because God loves his creation. He loves us. How do we know that God loves us? Because the Bible says so. That's a pretty good reason, right? 1 John 4:8 tells us that God is love. And Romans 5:8 tells us that God proves his own love for us. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the proof. That's the proof. And so if we need a reason to be a witness for God, it's in these verses that we just read. Because he's passionate about people knowing him. And if he's that passionate, then we need to understand that we need to be passionate about proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And so in order to do that, we have to have power, right? We have to have strength. So that's the next thing. How can we be a witness for God? One, we need to understand God's passion. Two, we need to capture God's power. We need to capture God's power. Here in Acts 1:8, Jesus leaves us with one of the greatest promises he ever gave. Look at verse 8 again, the first part. One of the greatest promises. "But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." You know what that tells me? Is that every one of us who is a follower of Christ, God has given to each one of us a supernatural resource to carry out the work of missions. He's given us a supernatural power, not like a not like Batman or Superman or something like that, but he's given us a power in order to do what he's called us to do, to carry out the work of missions. You see, witnessing is not dependent upon your personality or my personality. We're all different. We all come from different walks of life. We all have different personalities. It's not dependent upon a personality. It's not dependent upon how articulate you are. I mean, Dwight L. Moody was said to be a very uneducated man. He spoke very broken English, yet God used him to lead thousands upon thousands of people to Christ through his preaching. You ever heard of J. Vernon McGee? He's a preacher from many years ago. He's written commentaries. I have some in my office. To hear him talk, you think, who is this hick? I mean, J. Vernon McGee talks like this. Sounds like he's a hick from Arkansas. That's what he sounds like. But God has used him over the years. He's not the most articulate person in the world. But yet God used him. So it's not dependent upon how articulate you are. It's not dependent upon our position. It's dependent upon the power of God, and every Christian has available to him the power of the Holy Spirit. Every one of us. And so if we have the power of God, listen, we don't need anything else. We don't need anything else. Jesus had already promised the Holy Spirit as a permanent guide and a teacher and a seal of salvation and a comforter. If you go back and read over in John chapter 14, he talks about this comforter who will be coming. And he also promised that the Holy Spirit's power would help his followers to spread the message of the gospel around the world here in verse 8. And so the salvation of souls is really a supernatural work only made possible by the Holy Spirit's power at work in us and in the world. And so that's the power of missions. And so when the Holy Spirit descended upon the believers at Pentecost, it wasn't a quiet event. Turn with me over to Acts chapter 2. Just one page over probably in your Bible. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Look at what happened on that day. Jesus had promised the Holy Spirit, and here it is. It says, when the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole earth, a house where they were staying. And tongues like flames of fire that were divided appeared on them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different languages as the Spirit gave them ability for speech. And so this wasn't a quiet event. This was a dynamic event. It was a very loud event. And immediately after the disciples had spoke to the crowds, the Bible says, that were gathered there in Jerusalem for the Feast of the Pentecost, and these people were from a variety of different nations. And therefore, they spoke many different languages. And imagine to their surprise and wonder when the disciples began to speak in their own languages. You see, this is not talking about speaking in tongues. This is talking about they spoke in different languages. Just pick up a language like that. It takes years and years of practice. And all of a sudden, these guys are speaking different languages. The only way that you can try to define what was happening, it was the power of God, right? That's the only way you can explain it. The Holy Spirit's power was made manifest to a great number of people that day, resulting, the Bible says, in verse 41 of chapter 2, the conversion of about 3,000 people. That's amazing. And so all those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, we need to understand something. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we don't have to wait for a tongue of fire to come rest on us and speak in different languages as a proof that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not what the Bible's talking about here. But when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are immediately and permanently indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says that. Romans 8:11 says, "And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then He who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through His Spirit who lives in you." The Holy Spirit has taken up residence in our lives. And so the Holy Spirit works in and through believers to accomplish His will. And His power leads us and convicts us and teaches us and equips us to do His work to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit's powerful indwelling is an amazing gift that we should never take lightly. So if we want to be a witness for the Lord, trust in the power of the Holy Spirit. Another thing we need to do, three, is we need to commit to God's plan. Commit to God's plan. Notice the purpose of this power. The power is given so that what? You will be my witnesses, right? And so the Holy Spirit is never given for our enjoyment. It's given for the purposes of God. The reason why God gives to each one is gives us the Holy Spirit is that we might be a witness. He wants us to be a witness. So everyone who is a blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ is indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit because He wants us to be a witness. And I want to say something to you this morning. For everyone that is listening, whether here or online, I want to say to you this morning, if you want to know how God intends to reach the lost world for Jesus Christ, go home and look in the mirror. Because you're looking at Him. And that's every one of us. We're all been assigned to that work. And guys, there is no plan B. If we don't do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, if we don't do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not going to get done. And listen, when you're like me, and you look at our nation today, you look at our culture, you might get overwhelmed by the big picture. I know I do. Because you look at everything going on today and say, how in the world could we ever see healing and power and salvation in all this mess that's going on right now? And when we look at the big picture and we see the lostness and the brokenness of our world, we might get a little overwhelmed like me. But you know what? We need to understand something, that obviously we cannot win everybody. But we can each win somebody, one person, right? We can all win someone. And so we need to simply commit to God's plan that we are His witnesses and do our best. And then let God do the saving. We're just the messengers. It's God that does the saving. We don't save people. God does. So we need to commit to God's plan. And then finally, we need to follow God's pattern. You know, God's pattern is very simple. And He lays it out for us here in Acts chapter 1. He said we're to be witnesses to Jesus in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So God has not only told us that we need to go, He's told us how to go. He's told us we need to go to our communities and to our state and to our nation and to our world. That means that we cannot put an order to the outreach. We can't just focus on reaching those who are still unbelievers in our own families, in our city, in our country, and then forget about the nations. Jesus said in Matthew 24, 14, the good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed in all the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So His plan is for the gospel to be proclaimed to everyone, to all the nations. And Jesus said that the end of history will not come until all ethnic groups are reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, we cannot all be here in St. Charles or in St. Charles County and be in India at the same time. Okay, it's impossible. But you know what? We can be involved in missions in other ways through prayer and through giving. For instance, my daughter Allison is making preparations to go on the mission field. She's in the process of filling out the application to be a missionary with the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, we need to understand something. God has not called all of us to go, but He's called her to go. And we can support Allison by praying for her and giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and in joining her at times, possibly with a short-term mission trip. This is a way that we can reach the ends of the world through Allison as we send her out. And she goes and answers her calling. Our job is probably to stay here. Her calling is to go to India or somewhere else that God has called her to. And so if we want to reach the ends of the world, God has provided a way for us to do that. Not everybody can be a volunteer at Powell Terrace Food Pantry. But if you're thinking, if you're tithing and you're giving to this church, then I want you to understand something. You are supporting an important ministry of Bogey Hills as we feed people in our community and ultimately share the gospel with them. Not everybody can go be a volunteer on a Monday morning or a Wednesday morning. But when you support the ministry of the church by giving your tithes and offering, you're supporting a Judean ministry. Because we're reaching our community through our food pantry. And so God's pattern for us is to be involved in reaching our community, our state, our nation, and our world with the gospel of the kingdom of God. And God has provided a way to us. For us to be able to do that. So we don't put emphasis. We don't say, okay, notice, I want you to notice something here. Jesus doesn't say, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and then Judea and then Samaria. He doesn't say that. He says, you need to be a witness in all these areas at the same time. And so we have to figure out and be creative and how to do that. So we'll go into all the world and follow His pattern. Well, let me just sum everything up by giving us some practical application. How do we do it? You know, how can we put some meat to the stuff here that we've talked about today? The first and foremost thing that we need to do if we want to be a witness is we need to pray. I mean, that goes without saying. Well, so Pastor, that's so simple. Yeah, but it's so important. And that is the key to doing everything. The first and foremost thing for us to do is pray. We should consider all the people in our lives that are not yet saved. And God is bringing to your mind, perhaps right now, people that you know of. We can even make a list of our unsaved family members and our friends, our neighbors, our classmates, our coworkers. And guess what? We can pray every day for them regularly. We can ask the Lord who specifically that we need to speak to and how we should speak to them and even when we should speak to them. We can ask Him to give us opportunities to speak to those around us. Listen, guys, the more we look around us and allow God to direct us, what's going to happen is He will give us the ability to have conversations with people. Personally experience Jesus Christ. We can tell people about what we have seen and heard concerning the Word of Life, Jesus Christ. Isn't that what being a witness is? I've been called to be a witness before in a case. When I first became your pastor over 20 years ago, I had to fly back to Oklahoma and testify in a court about a situation that happened in a hospital where I worked. And so I walked in that place and I sat down in that chair and I raised my hand. I didn't sit down, raised my hand first. Do you declare to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Yes, I do. Have a seat. And the lawyer who was against the hospital, and I was testifying on behalf of the hospital, grilled me. And I was scared. But I said, I'm just going to tell the truth. I'm going to tell what I saw and what I heard. And that's all I can do. That's what a witness is. What have we seen and heard concerning Christ's activity in our lives? For instance, we can tell them of how burdened down with sin and guilt we were and how we received Christ and now we're forgiven and been cleansed by Him. We can tell them that Christ now lives in us and is with us each and every day. And as we do that, it becomes more and more normal for us to talk about our own experience and things of daily life. You know, with witnessing, we're simply sharing our experiences with Christ. Excuse me. We may not know a whole lot about the Word. You may not have ever even read the book, the Bible, all the way through. But you know what? We know the One who has touched our hearts and has opened our eyes, and we can speak about what He's done for us personally. And if you stop and think about it, we probably actually have a lot to say about God's activity in our lives. And so that's how we can be a witness, to share your experience. And here's the good thing about it, when you're talking with people, unless they really think that you're a big liar, they cannot dispute what's happened in your life. Because it's your story. It's your experience. So share your story. Share your experience with others. And let God take care of the rest. We've been called to be a witness. That's all. It's God's business to save people. And He wants everyone to be saved. So we have to keep that in mind. Years ago, some of you probably remember that old slogan by the Standard Oil Company. And that slogan said, "Get the light to every dark corner of the world." Man, that's a great slogan. I think that's one that we can probably relate to. Get the light to every dark corner of the world. How true that is for us today. Let's be a witness for Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You today for the message of the book of Acts. Father, for the example of the early church as they proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ, not being educated, just being ordinary people. Father, You did a great work through them. And Lord, we know that You want to do a great work through us. When we do it humbly and with a heart of love, Father, we know that You're going to bless that. And when we share simply what we've seen and heard about the truth of Jesus Christ in our lives, Father, we understand that people are going to listen, and that some will put their faith and trust in you. So, Father, give us the courage to go and be your witnesses. Let us hold fast to your power as we share with others the hope that lies within us. And Father, we ask for you to work among us now. And we ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. And we pray together. Amen. Well, Andrew's going to lead us in a song of commitment. And perhaps the Lord has spoken to you about a decision that you need to make today. And just right where you are, you can make that commitment to the Lord. And if you need to talk to me, let's meet up sometime after today. You can call me or text me. We can chat over Zoom or whatever you want to do. But in the meantime, make that commitment to the Lord. Give your life to Him. Commit to being a witness. Whatever He's called you to do this morning, I pray that you'd be obedient to Him. So as Andrew leads us, you make your decision for Christ. Let's stand together as we sing this great song of invitation.